It was the end of our first week of lockdown. That's more than a year ago, but many of you probably still remember that difficult week where nobody really knew what was going on and we were all trying to figure things out and everything was convoluted and mixed up. And not only had our lives been difficult, but I'll be honest, ministry was being upended as well. And because of that, it had been a long, difficult week for me. And Kara, being an amazing and loving wife, she was trying to figure out something to kind of bolster my spirits. And she said, well, why don't we eat out for dinner tonight? Now, again, it's the first week of lockdown. You couldn't actually go out to eat anywhere. But she said, you know, Chipotle, they've got this, you know, contactless pickup thing where we can order on the app and just drive down to East Peoria. By the time we get there, it'll be ready. We can just grab the bag and go. And you know what? A giant chicken burrito sounded pretty good to me. So we pulled up the app. We're trying to figure this out for the first time. And I ordered Kara a chicken burrito bowl, which for those of you who aren't familiar with that, it's all of the deliciousness of a giant chicken burrito, but without the best part of it, which is, of course, that great big flour tortilla. They just dump it in a bowl and you can eat it out of the bowl. That's her thing. You know, for me, I got a giant chicken burrito, and I could tell them, this is what I want. I want the rice, and then, all right, put on the black beans and the fajita veggies, and give me chicken and corn. All right, give me hot sauce, double hot sauce. That's right. Oh yeah, and sour cream and cheese. And, you know, yeah, let's just go crazy. Give me a little bit of lettuce just so I feel good about my terrible life decisions. And then wrap that puppy up and have it for me. And so we ordered via the app. We sent it in and we drove down to East Peoria. And just as advertised, we could walk in. We didn't even have to talk to anybody. You could just pick up the bag with your name on it and go. And we got home and unpacked the bag. And there's Kara's chicken burrito bowl. And there's a chicken burrito bowl for me as well. And my face just fell. And you know, it's funny. It's not like there wasn't good stuff in that bowl. In fact, everything I asked for was in the bowl. There's the rice. There's the beans. The fajita veggies. There's the chicken, corn, double hot sauce, sour cream, cheese, even a little sprinkle of lettuce over the top. But the tortilla was missing. It wasn't wrapped up the way I wanted to. It's not that there wasn't good stuff in the bowl, but just it didn't scratch the itch that I had. I understand that at this point in time, we are 4 weeks into our series on the will of the Lord, and truth be told, some of you still haven't had that itch that you have scratched. We've talked about good stuff, and you're happy to talk about good stuff like the moral will of the Lord and the sovereign will of the Lord, and even this idea that God doesn't have a mysterious will that he somehow hides for us, that idea betrays the grace and compassion of our loving and caring God. That's all good stuff, but it's kind of like having a chicken burrito bowl. Something's still missing because you still want to know, How do I make decisions? How do I figure stuff out? How do I tell if Sydney is supposed to be my fiance or not? How do I figure out whether I should help my grandson start his solar panel business or not? My wife and I have been struggling, and it's been nothing but difficulty and seems like heartache for the past 4 out of our 5 years together. What are we supposed to do? You know, I went to the doctor, and he said, there's a lot of options for your hip. You know, you can have the surgery, or you can get more shots, or you can probably wait another year or two. How do I decide which of the two? Should I be a veterinarian, or should I be a lawyer? We're trying to buy a car, and, you know, should we get this Honda, or should we get this Chrysler? Which is the right one for us? I got to figure out what to do with my kids in school in the fall, and what are we supposed to do? Should we do homeschool, or should we do private school, or should we do public school? We've got all sorts of questions, and we just want to know, how are we supposed to decide? Well, guess what? This morning, you are getting a great big honking chicken burrito, because that's exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how do we make decisions within the will of the Lord. But we needed all those other weeks to build a foundation so we can use those different things we've talked about to bring it together and explore this idea this morning. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to make decisions within the will of the Lord. And we're going to talk about two important questions we need to start with, and then we're going to talk together about two important principles to follow. And just to make it even easier for you, when you put them all together, because everybody likes when this happens, it does spell out a word. It's going to spell out will, W-I-L-L. So settle in. Let's talk this morning about how we make decisions within the will of the Lord. And the most important place to begin, the most important question to ask has to be, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? If you are trying to make a decision, the most important question to ask is going to be, what does the Bible have to say? This shouldn't surprise us. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible was given to help teach us, to help correct us and rebuke us when we need correction, but to help train us in righteousness as well, because there are good things that God wants us to do, and the best place to turn to understand that, to see that, to know that, it's right here in front of us in black and white, and sometimes red if you have a red letter edition of your Bible. But go to the Bible. Ask, what does the Bible have to say? When you are facing those decisions, that is the most important place. That is the place we must start together. And a lot of our questions can be answered by simply asking, what does the Bible say? For instance, again, should Sydney be my fiance or not? Well, you might say, well, how's the Bible going to help with that? I looked in the back. Sydney doesn't show up in the Bible at all. So how do I make that decision? Well, you are right. Sydney doesn't show up in the Bible. But you know what? The Bible does have a lot to say about who we should be with. And so maybe that's what you look into the scriptures for. And so you'll come across 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? So you'd come to that and then you'd say, well, okay, is Sydney a believer or not? And if the answer is, well, I mean, she's a good person, but she doesn't really do organized religion or things like that. Well, then you have your answer. Because God has said we should not be yoked together with unbelievers. And if you choose to move forward, there's going to be nothing but difficulty and strife between the two of you because you have very basic foundational differences in how you view the entire world. But she's really nice. We'll come back to that. Or you're saying, you know, I'm trying to figure out whether I should help my grandson start up this solar panel business. Okay? You know, he wants to get started. They're saying that green energy is going to be what so many things are on in the future, and there's a lot of governmental incentives for it right now. So if he can get on the ground floor and really start this, I mean, he could have a job for life that would support him well. And there's a lot of startup capital involved in getting a business like that up and moving and off the ground. So, you know, should I help him? He doesn't have the money. The bank says they won't give him the loan on his own, but if I co-sign on the loan, then he can get up and going. So should I do that? Well, again, what does the Bible say? That's the most important question we can ask. And you'll say again, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about solar panels. The Romans hadn't invented them yet. And so, well, what do I do? Well, again, The Bible might not have anything to say about solar panels, but the Bible does have a lot to say about money. And you could go and you could find in Proverbs 17, 18, these words: a man lacking in judgment strikes hands in pledge and puts up security for his neighbor. That's a fancy way of saying this: don't co-sign on a loan for somebody else. That is a foolish decision. God is saying he doesn't want you to compromise the relationship you have with your grandson. Because the moment you sign on that loan, you co-sign on that loan, your relationship is going to be forever changed. Because in 2 years, when he decides, maybe this isn't really what I want to do with my life, I want to be like an apartment manager or something, that giant loan is still there. And it's got to get paid back somehow. Or even if he sticks with it. You know, if he's not quite making a go of it, and, you know, he's starting to get behind in his payments, and then you see that he and his wife are eating out at Bernardi's every single week, there's a part of you that might go, wait, you know, if your money needs to be going towards that loan and not going to out to eat. And if you have to have that conversation, that's not going to be easy. That's not what you want to be the foundation of your relationship. It's almost like God said from the beginning, that's not really a good idea. It's almost like God knows what he's talking about if we are willing to ask, what does the Bible say? Maybe someone's struggling. You know, it's been hard in our marriage. You know, we got married 5 years ago, and for the past 4 years, it's been hard, and for the past year with COVID, it's been just so hard. Well, we can't seem to get along about anything. We are fighting over money. Just the joy, the passion, the excitement, it is gone. And we're thinking about separating. What's the will of the Lord? Well, do you want to know what the Bible has to say? It'd be a good place to start. Ask, what does the Bible say? The Bible does talk about divorce. First of all, it says, if it should ever happen, it is a last resort. And it says, if it should ever happen in a godly way, there are a very strict set of requirements that must have taken place. Are we talking about adultery? Are we talking about abandonment? Well, no, we're not getting along like we used to. It's not as fun as it used to be. Well, then if you want to know what the will of the Lord is, it's the will of the Lord that you honor the commitment you made to one another and to him, and that you stick together. If we're willing to ask ourselves, what does the Bible say, a lot of our hard and difficult questions can be answered. And when we want to know how to make decisions within the will of the Lord, asking, what does the Bible say, is the most important and foundational place to start. But what if we've got a question, a difficulty we're facing, and the Bible doesn't lead us one way or the other? You know, I'm trying to figure out what to do about this hip replacement surgery. And should I get the surgery, or should I get shots, or should I try and wait it out longer? And the Bible, it's not going to give you an answer quite in the same way. So what do you do then? Well, you move to your second question. Remember, we said, first question is, what does the Bible say? Second question, we can ask this: is the Spirit leading me one way or the other? Is the Spirit of God leading me one way or the other? In the Old Testament, you see the Spirit moving amongst God's people in many unique ways. The Spirit would often work through the high priest as he would use the stones on his breastplate to make decisions one way or the other. Or the Spirit of God might move through his prophets as they told God's people which way they should do things, one way or the other. Now, it's interesting, you don't really see that happen as you move later into the New Testament, and a large reason for that is because now the Spirit of God dwells within us. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in each and every one of us as believers. And as Jesus himself said in John 16, 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of the living God within us can help lead us and give us discernment as we seek to make decisions within the will of the Lord. This has happened a number of different times in the course of my life. When I was trying to figure out, should I go to seminary? Should I be a pastor? The Bible didn't tell me one way or the other. My options were to pursue seminary. I could continue as an engineer. It's not like one of those is inherently wrong, right? And being an engineer is inherently wrong, right? I mean, we got plenty of great godly cat people here in our church. So what do I do? Well, I took time. I prayed. I talked with God about it. I sought a leading of His Spirit, and I certainly felt led to enter into ministry. When we were leaving seminary and trying to figure out what's next for us, Kara and I had some decisions to make. And as I've shared with you before, it's not as if Grace Bible Church was the only church that we candidated at. We want to be honest about those things. But as we reflected on that, and it's not like one church was right and one church was wrong, that one church was full of amazing saints and the other terrible sinners or anything like that. There wasn't a clear direction in the pages of Scripture, so we prayed and we talked to God in that way. And both Kara and I, individually and then together, we had a very clear leading that this is where He wanted us, that God wanted us to come to Grace Bible Church in Washington, Illinois. And that decision has been confirmed again and again and again and again over the past almost 13 years. Now, when we talk about asking that question, is the Spirit leading one way or the other? There are two problems, there are two struggles that arise with that question. And I just want to talk briefly about both of them. The first is this, that what I'm talking about is inherently intangible. You might ask, well, what does that look like? How does that feel? How do you know if the Spirit's leading you one way or the other? Again, because we are talking about something that is spiritual, that is a leaning of the heart, you can't quantify it tangibly the way we often like. And that does make it difficult. When you're trying to figure out what to do about that hip surgery, I suspect that if you are talking to the Lord and He has a definite direction He wants you to go, that you'll know. And you guys talk to me about these types of things all the time. I trust that you know it, even if you haven't talked about it in this way, that you say, you know what, I don't have a real good feeling about the surgery right now. You know, something doesn't seem right. Or you'll say, I feel like I should wait. Or maybe you'll say something like, you know, I want to give injections another round, another go. I don't know why, but I feel like that's the right thing to do. What we are doing, what we are talking about in those instances is often a leading of the Spirit as we talk to God about that big decision we are facing. But there is another thing we need to be very careful about, and I want to make sure we talk about this, and that's because the leading of the Spirit tends to be an intangible, personal thing in our heart of hearts, there are times when we substitute an authentic leading of the Spirit with our own wants and desires. Where we say it's the Spirit leading us, but what's really happening is we are doing what we want. And because there is the possibility of that, because all of us are fallen, broken, sinful people, we need to make sure, positive, 100% sure, that we start by asking, what does the Bible say? And then we ask, is the Spirit leading me one way or the other? Because if we switch those two around, we get problems. And I get people that come into my office, that come and talk to me and say, Pastor, you know what? I really feel like Sydney is the one. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, yeah, but you see, I feel like in my heart that God really wants me to be with her, and that's what He wants me to do. That's not the way it works. You know, Pastor, I really feel like God wants me to co-sign on that loan for my grandson. It just it seems right, and God wants me to kind of give him that start. And, well, what does the Bible say? Yeah, but I know it says that, but what I really feel like in my heart is that's not the way it works. A person could say to me, Pastor, I feel like God wants us to go separate ways. I've prayed about it. I've got a peace in my heart that's the right thing for us to do. Now, what did the Bible say about that? Yeah, but what I feel, I've got a peace in my heart about it. Now, because I am a pastor, I don't ever get to say it. So I will just say it one time here for you guys. But what I really want to say in those situations, and I get them more than I would like, is this. Shut up. No. That's not how this works. You don't get to do it that way. You don't get to say, yeah, the Bible says this, but I've got a leading from the Spirit that told me something extra. It does not work that way, people. But we laugh and we chuckle, but we do it all the time. We really do. And it's tragic because we are saying that God has told us something that is contrary to his word, and it cannot and does not happen that way. That's why there is a definite order to these things. Number one question is not, is the Spirit leading me? Number one question is, what does the Bible say? If there is not a clear leading in the pages of Scripture, then you can ask, is the Spirit leading me one way or the other? But we need to keep those things in a very specific order. But sometimes it'll happen that the Bible doesn't lead us one way or the other, and we pray and we talk to God about it, and even then we don't have a leading one way or the other. I'm still trying to figure out, should I be a vet or should I be a lawyer? I don't know which car God might want for us. Is it the Honda? Is it the Chrysler? What should we do then? Well, when that comes up, so we've got the W, we've got the I, we come to the next one, that's an L, and that's look for godly advice. Look for godly advice. This is so simple, but I feel like we overlook this all the time. Take some time and ask the godly people around us that we trust. God often works through his body, through the family of Christ, if we're willing to let him. These are the words that Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16:20. He said, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. These are his words in Proverbs 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. And let's remind ourselves of the context of this. Who's writing these words in Proverbs? Well, that's Solomon. That's the wisest guy that there ever was. If there's anybody short of Jesus who could ever say, you know what, I don't think I need to talk to anybody else, I think I can figure this out on my own, it would be Solomon. But even Solomon says in the pages of Scriptures, all of us is much, much wiser than one of us. And even Solomon says, there are times when it's the right thing to do to ask for advice, to look to others, to seek godly counsel from the people around us. And when we're trying to make some of those big life decisions within the will of the Lord, that can be a good thing to do. You're trying to figure out, should I be a vet or should I be a lawyer? Well, how about you talk to your parents? They've known you most of your life. What might they say? So you talk to your mom, and she says to you, well, first of all, because it's your mom, she'll say, well, I believe that you could do anything you put your mind to. Because that's the type of thing that moms say. Like, if you really wanted to. But then she'll tell you the truth if you just hang in there for one more sentence. Then she'll go, but you know what? Do you remember when you had that biology class in high school? And you had to dissect a frog? And you said that was the single grossest thing that you've ever encountered in your entire life, and you threw up in your mouth? Well, you do know that being a vet isn't just playing with puppies and kittens, and there's going to be surgeries and things like that as well. And so maybe that's not the best fit for you. And she says that, and you think about that, and then maybe you watch a YouTube of like a dog hip replacement or something, and you go, I'm going to be lawyer. That's it. That's what I need. And you just, God used somebody to help point you in that direction. This past fall, we needed a new van. Our Honda Odyssey had 235,000 miles. It was going well, but it was starting to turn into a bit of a money pit. And so we're trying to look at what are the options we have. And so there were Honda Odysseys, and making it extra complicated for us, the used car market was, whoo, that was another thing that was, the prices were going up within because of COVID-19, and they were more expensive. We could find a Chrysler for a little less. It was a different model. So I said, well, I don't know. Why don't I call someone I trust? So I called our mechanic, Keith. I said, Keith, he's a godly guy too. And I said, hey, you see more vehicles than I ever will. Do you have a recommendation one way or the other? And he knows how we use vehicles. He knows that we will drive it for every single mile we can get. And he said, if that's what you're planning to do, it might be worth getting the Odyssey, even if it's a little more, because you will get the mileage out of it. And I said, thanks for the advice. And that helped steer us in the right direction. It's amazing what God will do through the people around us if we will just give him the opportunity to do so. And so, when we're trying to make those decisions, we ask, what does the Bible say? We ask, is the Spirit leading us one way or the other? We look for godly advice. But what do we do if even after seeking godly advice, we still don't have an answer? You're trying to figure out what to do with your kids in the fall for school. And you know what? The Bible doesn't say one way or the other, and you've prayed about it, and you don't have a leaning one way or the other. And you talk to your friends, and you talk to one friend that's done homeschooling, and they say, oh, it's the best decision we've ever made. We love it. It's fantastic. It's so flexible. We have that time with our kids. You talk to a friend that they've done private school, and you get their perspective, and they say, it's great. Oh, man, we love PCS. They got the best teachers there. It's fantastic. And you know what? Just, we wouldn't change a thing. You talk to a friend that had their kids go through Washington school, and they say, oh, we love it. The teachers are great. There's an amazing support system. We really feel like it strengthened our kids for godly life and ministry. We've had 3 kids go up through it. We love every minute of it. It's great. And at that point in time, you kind of wish that one of them at least had a rotten experience with their children so they could help make the decision for you. But no, they all gave you good, positive, they all had good, positive experiences. So what do you do then? Well, we come to our last L. And that's, we let go and make a decision. We let go and simply make a decision. All right, Pastor, but like, which is the right decision? No. It's, we let go of that worry, of that anxiety, of that stress, of that fear of making a wrong decision, and we simply choose one of the 3, trusting that God is good, God is gracious, God is compassionate, and that if we have honestly asked, what does the Bible say? And if we've honestly asked, is the Spirit leading me one way or the other? And we've looked for godly counsel and advice, and through none of those has God given us a direction one way or the other, then we are within the will of the Lord, whatever we choose. Notice I didn't say how to make a decision that is the will of the Lord. This morning we're talking about how we make decisions that are within the will of the Lord. And sometimes multiple decisions can all still be within the Lord. And it may be that if you choose public or you choose private or you choose homeschooling, I'm not going to say that everything will be perfect in them, that there will never be difficulties or struggles along the way. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs through all of them. But no matter what you choose, you can do so knowing that God is good, that God is watching over your kids, and that you have made a decision where God's not up there waiting. Like, oh, they better choose right or wrong because it's going to get bad if they don't. No, where you have made a decision within the will of the Lord, and you can trust that and let go of that fear and anxiety that builds up within us and simply make a decision, trusting that God is good and God will continue to strengthen and support both you and your kids as you head into that. And when you put all these ideas together, you get a basic framework for making decisions within the will of the Lord. We start, most importantly, by asking, what does the Bible say? Then we ask, is the Spirit leading me one way or the other? Then we look for godly advice. And last but not least, if we have no clear direction in any of those, then we can let go and simply make a decision knowing we are doing so within the will of the Lord. Would you close with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We are blessed by you. We know you are good, and we know you are watching over us. And it's because of us that we care so much about your will. Lord, we ask that you would use what we've talked about here today to help mold us and shape us. Help us to remember to look to your word, even sometimes when we don't want to know what it says. Help us to be open to the leading of your Spirit at times, Lord. We don't often take that time to pray and talk with you. When it's needed, Lord, may we be willing to look for godly advice in others. May we not think that we have to do this on our own. And Lord, there are times in all of our lives when we just need to be willing to let go and make a decision trusting in you. And perhaps that's where we actually need the most strength and support. But would you help us in that? And Lord, as we head out this week, we ask that the decisions we make, big and small, would all be well within your will. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. As we prepare to head out this morning, let me leave you with the word of the Lord from Acts 20:32. Now I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You are dismissed.